Podcast 20, Jesus and the Persistent Parent. Gospel reading for this podcast is Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Parents, everybody's got them. Sometimes as a parent, it's hard to know what your children are thinking. It reminds me of the story of the young boy talking to his friend about his parents. "You know," says the boy, "I'm really worried about my parents." "Why is that?" says his friend. "Well, my dad works really hard so we can have a comfortable house and we go on holidays to the beach and places like that. My mum is a great cook and we have the best food ever for our family meals." The friend replies, "So what's the problem? You've got nothing to worry about. Your life is sweet." "But," says the boy, "what if they escape?" Often it seems we never quite know what our children are thinking, but parents do in most cases try to provide for their children as best they can and help their children if they're having problems of any kind. Parenting is about being persistently, relentlessly supportive, and that's the key theme of the story today in Matthew's Gospel. It begins with the statement that Jesus withdrew to the vicinity of Tyre. So what was going on? Well, Jesus had been spending all of his time ministering in Jewish provinces around Galilee, and that ministry was drawing huge crowds, and he was exhausted. So Jesus left the Jewish provinces and went northwest into Gentile territory, Tyre, in order to get some rest. He wasn't on a mission to the Gentiles. He was simply looking for a quiet place to have some time out. But it doesn't work. A woman hears of his arrival and makes her way boldly to Jesus. Though she's a Syrophoenician, because of Tyre's proximity to Judea and Galilee, she probably would have known the Jewish customs. She knows that she has none of the religious, moral, or cultural credentials necessary to approach a Jewish rabbi. She is a Phoenician, a Gentile, a pagan, a woman, and her daughter has an unclean spirit. She knows that in every way, according to the standards of the day, she is unclean and therefore disqualified to approach any devout Jew, let alone a rabbi. But she doesn't care. She enters the house without an invitation, falls down, and begins begging Jesus to exorcise the demon from her daughter. The disciples urge Jesus to send her away, but she's pleading with Jesus, and she won't take no for an answer. So what is Jesus' response to this woman as she's down on the floor begging? The story continues. She begs Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus' response is, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." So what's happening here? Is this Jesus on a bad day? Grumpy Jesus? This response is such a contrast to the generous way Jesus responds to other Gentiles in the Gospel who ask for help. For example, the centurion with a sick servant in Matthew chapter 8. On the surface, this response from Jesus appears to be an insult to the woman. New Zealand is mostly a dog-loving society, but in the New Testament times, most dogs were scavengers. They were wild, dirty, and uncouth in every way. Their society was not a dog-loving society, and to call someone a dog was a terrible insult. In Jesus' day, the Jews often called the Gentiles dogs because they were unclean. Is this what Jesus means to her? Is he greeting her request with an insult then? But if we look closer at the Greek, we find that Jesus is using the diminutive form, kinarion, a word that would be translated small dog or puppies. Remember, the woman is a mother. Jesus is saying to her, "You know how families eat. First the children eat at the table. Afterwards, any pets can eat too. But it's not right to violate that order. The puppies must not eat food from the table before the children do." And Jesus goes on to explain, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Jesus concentrated his ministry on Israel for all sorts of reasons. He was sent to show Israel that he was the fulfillment of all Scripture's promises, the fulfillment of all the prophets, priests, and kings, the fulfillment of temple worship. But after Jesus was resurrected, he immediately said to the disciples, "Go to all the nations." His words then are not the insult they appear superficially to be. What he's saying to the Syrophoenician woman is, "Please understand, there's an order here. I'm going to Israel first, and then the Gentiles and other nations later." However, this mother comes back at him with an astounding reply. "Yes, Lord," she replies, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Now, this is a very clever reply, but Jesus doesn't say it's a clever reply. He tells her, "For such a reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter." And she goes home and finds her child lying on the bed with the demon gone. In other words, what she is saying to Jesus is, "Yes, Lord, but the puppies eat from that table too, and I'm here for mine." Jesus has made a statement in which he has given her a combination of challenge and offer, and she gets it. She responds to the challenge. "Okay, I understand. I'm not from Israel. I do not worship the God that the Israelites worship. Therefore, I don't have a place at this table. I accept that." Isn't this amazing? She doesn't take offense. She doesn't stand on her rights as a mother. She says, "All right, I may not have a place at the table, but there's more than enough on that table for everyone in the world, and I need my share of this grace for my daughter now." She is wrestling with Jesus in the most respectful way, and she will not take no for an answer. In our modern Western cultures, we don't often see this kind of assertiveness. We only have the assertion of our rights. We do not know how to contend unless we're standing up for our rights, standing up on our dignity and saying, "This is what I am owed. This is my right." But this woman is not doing that at all. This is rightless assertiveness, something we have very little experience of. She's not saying, "Lord, give me what I deserve on the basis of my goodness." What she is saying is, "Lord, give me what I don't deserve on the basis of your goodness, and I need it now." The fact that Jesus reached out to this Gentile woman fundamentally shows that Jesus comes for the broken, the sick, the outsider, and the sinner. And of course, of all people are inherently sinful. We are positionally alienated from God and therefore spiritually broken, sick, outside, and condemned. And if we put ourselves in the shoes of this Gentile woman, I think we'll find another truth that's very practical here and now in our everyday lives. It's only until I realize that I have no leverage in my position before God, that I will finally begin to hear and understand his voice and his call on my life. Just like the Gentile woman who had nothing to offer Jesus, she had to lean on his grace alone.